From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from Benicia.
Sunset District.
I live in Lakeside.
The Western Addition.
Diamond Heights.
Emeryville, California.
Westwood Park.
Coming up, we're heading up to the Emerald Triangle to see how much the growing marijuana industry has, well, grown.
Our office has been smelling like weed for years, unfortunately. I'm used to it. It doesn't even bother me.
Then we'll head behind the scenes on a thriving farm in Mendocino to see how the cash crop has transformed a town.
I think a lot of us are calling our present work job site Weedtopia, Trimtopia, pick one. We have a chef. They provide us with anything that we ask. It's all fantastic.
The backstory to a billion-dollar industry today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Earlier this year, Alaska and Washington, D.C. joined the states of Oregon, Washington, and Colorado as the latest places in America where recreational marijuana is legal. Recent data suggests that about half of Americans support legalizing the drug. Legalization supporters here in California are fighting to see our state join that list. But legal marijuana could have some big impacts on the already existing market here. Mendocino, Humboldt, and Trinity counties, known as the Emerald Triangle, already boast a growing industry valued at about $1 billion. In an extended piece produced by our partners at Youth Radio, KLW's Olivia Cueva has the story of how young people are cashing in on that industry.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm at Oaksterdam University in Oakland, California, just in time for the morning lecture. 23 students, mostly guys, are taking a semester-long course about everything you need to know to get into the marijuana industry. They're young. Average age is 25. Jeff Jones is teaching today's class, and he's been in the industry for over 20 years.
So how's everybody doing this morning?
It's just been a few minutes, and I'm completely lost. This isn't a lecture you can just drop in on and know what they're talking about.
If you have an equatorial hybrid, it's going to be more wispy than, say, a Granddaddy Purple or an LA Confidential that are very nuggy and hard. Right? OG Kush, it's like a golf ball. Blue Dream, it's a little spongier.
I want to giggle because he just said Granddaddy Purple in a classroom. But the students around me are serious, more so than my classmates in college. They don't stop taking notes. Halfway through, they break into a lab to work hands-on with the flowers, another name for marijuana buds.
You're interviewing the right guy. This is going to be a future cannabis millionaire. I mean, he's going to be...
I don't know.
This guy's valedictorian quality.
I'm working on it.
The guy gunning for valedictorian is 21-year-old Derek Stefanoff. Before this, he studied aviation technology, but left when he found out about mandatory drug testing. Now he's near the top of his class at the Harvard of Marijuana Studies, but he's not immune to the hazards of the trade.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
So what's the goal of this trimming process right now?
Basically, you want to get as many of the leaves off as humanly possible. It's all about aesthetics.
Marijuana grows like a huge bush. Trimmers manicure the buds, snipping off the leaves and stems, then shape them with their scissors. The idea is to make it stand out, so it sells well at a medical marijuana dispensary, a place where marijuana is sold. Stefanoff wants to run his own dispensary. He and his classmates are hoping to enter at the top of a growing industry, pun intended. So today's lesson about trimming weed is kind of an eye roll. These guys don't want to be trimmers. They plan to hire them. But 200 miles north, it's a different story.
Hey.
Morning.
It's like 7:50, we're running kind of late. I don't know, it was dark when I woke up. We have a 5-hour drive to go.
I'm headed to the epicenter of the nation's marijuana production, Humboldt County. It's to weed what Napa County is to fine wine. Young people come from all over the world to trim weed during the fall harvest season. And the locals have given them a nickname, Trimmigrants, or Scissor Drifters. There are even new folk songs being written about them.
Snip, snip here, snip, snip there, scissor drifters everywhere.
It's estimated that there are well over 100,000 marijuana plants growing in the hills around Humboldt, and they all need to be harvested around the same time and processed quickly. So from September through November, it's all hands on deck. And fast trimmers can make $300 to $500 a day, in cash, under the table.
Like a gust of wind,
They blow into town, hoping to clean your pounds.
Garberville is a tiny town in southern Humboldt. Only about 900 people live here, so it's easy to spot the 20 or so young people scattered up and down the main street. They're wearing big, bulky backpacks, and some have pit bulls. Many look like modern-day hobos. At the far end of town, I meet Furman, a 24-year-old artist from Tennessee. Like all the trimmers I spoke with, Furman would use only his first name. Trimming for an illegal operation could make him an accessory to a drug crime.
You are traveling, backpack.
Yeah.
Why are you up here?
To look for a trim job.
What's all the hype about? Like, why here?
Well, I heard you could get work pretty easy, and you can get a pretty good amount, I guess, so that was it, really.
What's the reality?
The reality is it's taking a little bit longer than I expected.
Furman has been here for about a month and hasn't found any work yet. It's getting colder and the rains are coming. He sleeps in the woods just outside of town and dumpster dives for food.
This song is, I wrote this song, it's about Tennessee and raising hell, I guess.
Until he finds a job trimming weed, he gets by selling his art and playing music on the street.
Flying down the Blue Ridge and I'm raising hell, raising hell. Running from the lights that's chasing me.
Hey. Hi, how you doing?
Out in front of the town's main grocery store, there's a group of five guys, some in their late teens, sitting on the curb, partially blocking the sidewalk.
Have you ever trimmed before?
Oh, yeah, but I'm too high to acid.
Oh, okay.
If you didn't catch that, he said he was too high on acid to be interviewed. Some trimmigrants, like Furman, seem eager to work, but the scene also attracts drifters who hang around looking pretty drugged out. Locals say that's why European youth sometimes get hired over Americans, who get stereotyped as hippie kids.
Yeah, that's the ever-present curb.
Kristen Nevidal says migrant trimmers are everywhere, obstructing local businesses and damaging the river with their squatter camps. Nevidal is a local resident and co-founder of the largest marijuana growers association in California.
This is not the fun vacation thing to do, right? To like show up in Garberville in the fall and see if you can get a job. We, as a community, cannot house these people. We don't have the jobs for them. We don't have any facilities for them. And there's nowhere for them to go, right? Like, don't come unless you have a job.
According to the county sheriffs, the majority of growers in Humboldt operate illegally. So hiring strangers from the side of the road puts growers at risk. And there's risk for trimmers, too. Every year, some go missing, and trimmers have even been killed. They often work in remote areas with no cell phone service or running water, sleeping in tents. And sometimes they don't even know where they are.
So where are you taking us right now?
I'm taking you to my ranch. I got a 160-acre ranch right here.
Tim Blake has been growing marijuana since the 70s. He runs a collective called Healing Harvest Farms, just south in Mendocino County. We're driving up a dirt road in his four-wheel drive pickup truck. My producer is bouncing in the back with Blake's huge bull mastiff that whines as we make our way up over a hill and down into a sunny valley.
So this is the garden here?
This is the garden.
This is a small grow, 25 plants, which is the legal limit in Mendocino County. Big grows can easily run into the thousands. Blake's marijuana plants look almost like small trees. They're 10 feet high, and he says each one will produce about 8 pounds of weed.
Look at the different colors. So you got the purples, and then you got the dark greens, the light greens. It's an amazing. Want to smell these? You're short. I have to get you a smaller one, huh? Now see, smell that. You can switch that a little bit. Smell that. As soon as you squeeze it, you can feel the resin on it. It gets right on your fingers. It's like all over it. Okay, that's the number one desired strain in America at this point, our United States of America, is this OG, Kush.
So are we able to get in with some trimmers right now?
Get in with some trimmers, okay. Sure.
Blake brings me to the trim room, where six people, most in their 20s, are sitting in what looks like a living room, snipping away. Out of concern that someone could steal his entire harvest, which is worth almost $250,000, Blake only hires trimmers he knows.
You're sitting here all day long.
Bhishma is a local who does catering work to support his wife and kids. But during the fall harvest, he lives full-time on the farm.
Some people think, oh, I stay 8 hours on a job. It's like, we're sitting here 14 hours. And it's the same repetitive motion over and over and over again. So people just go to town and just like listen to every music they can.
Music is a big part of trimming. And the faster the music, the faster they snip. I watch as their scissors sync with the beat. Trimming marijuana doesn't look like other farm work. One local professor calls it an ag anomaly because most of the laborers are white U.S. citizens, meaning that the largest illegal crop in America is the only one using legal workers. Okay, I'm gonna stop you before you start imagining that everyone is taking bong rips. We all have our weed stereotypes, but up here, it's a different scene. Lumber and fishing imploded years ago. Now cannabis is estimated to be the largest private industry in Humboldt County. Weed is everywhere here, and lots of people, even the sheriffs, compare it to prohibition. Pick it, pack it, fire it up, come along, and take a hit from the ball.
Put the front door. I am Steve.
Olivia. Nice to meet you. Yeah, well, I just noticed that, like, when we walked in this part, it did smell like a little bit of weed. So just
our office has been smelling like weed for years, unfortunately. I'm used to it. It doesn't even bother me.
Lieutenant Steve Knight says the Humboldt Sheriff's Department confiscates so much weed that his wife had to wash his uniform separately because his kids were going to school smelling like marijuana. The sheriffs bust 90 to 100 marijuana operations a year, which they admit is a drop in the bucket.
Sergeant Quinnell!
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Brian Quinnell sat at his computer for 6 weeks counting the marijuana grows in Humboldt County.
So this is the Google Earth imagery for Humboldt County. The yellow pins indicate marijuana grows that I identified. There are so many of them that they just blend together.
Sergeant Quinnell found more than 4,000 marijuana operations in a county where just 2 officers are assigned to deal with the problem. He zooms in on one of the pins to show me what a grow site looks like from the air.
Wow. And this is just like forest.
This is national forest land. This, all of these little green dots here, those are marijuana plants. And this grow runs from the top of this ridge down this valley all the way down to here.
How can you tell that those are marijuana plants?
Well, I've seen hundreds of thousands of marijuana plants from the air. So, and nothing in nature grows like this. And you can tell that the earth has been disturbed. It was terraced. And again, this is U.S. Forest Service property, and they don't do that.
They didn't catch the growers, but they did seize 28,000 plants when they busted this grow site. But this is just one of thousands. Weed functions as a gray market in California. Medicinal marijuana is legal here, but with a lot of restrictions that vary by county. Mendocino County allows growers to have 25 plants. But in Fresno, you can't grow at all. And in Humboldt, it's on a case-by-case basis. And federally, you could go to jail for a single plant. It's all illegal.
It's a moot point now, whether you believe it should be legalized or not, because it's being grown in some regards as a legalized commodity.
Back in the 80s and 90s, Sheriff Mike Downey was jumping out of helicopters, busting marijuana grows in the war on drugs. But today...
It almost seems as though legalization is the best and most legitimate answer at this point, because it is truly, in Humboldt County and many of the Northern California counties, out of control.
Lots of locals depend on marijuana for part of their livelihood. And for young people who come here from all over to trim, it's a job so lucrative that some make all of their money for the year during the 3-month harvest. Or that's the dream anyway.
So we're going about, how long did you say? Like
about a quarter mile.
Quarter mile?
Yeah.
Back in Garberville, 24-year-old Furman is headed to the woods just outside of town to string his hammock up for the night.
I feel like I should have done this years ago and had connections already, you know, as a, like I said, newcomer. You know, it's hard to find work.
Furman has picked figs in California's Central Valley, a backbreaking job that he says isn't worth the money. As laws around the country change, making marijuana legal, analysts say the pay scale is bound to go down, that trimming will look a lot like picking, just another low-wage farm job. For Cross Currents, I'm Olivia Cueva.
That story was produced by Brett Myers with engineering from Brandon McFarlane at Youth Radio. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. For this next story, we're going to spend a little more time with Northern California marijuana farmers choosing to live and work in a legal gray area. KALW's Daphne Matsiaraki spent a day working on one of these pot farms and gives us a behind-the-scenes look into the process. A note to our listeners, all characters in the story preferred to remain anonymous, so they were given pseudonyms.
The marijuana farm is on a dirt road between Mendocino and Conche, around 2.5 hours from San Francisco. When I get there, the gate is wide open. It's a beautiful plot of land.
We look out over conifer trees to a valley with a beautiful ridge on the other side. This is like a million-dollar view.
Literally. This is one of the owners of this very profitable operation. We'll call him Tom. He works with a couple to run this farm. We'll call them John and Amy.
When we started here, this entire area was all like a struggling apple orchard.
John moved here with Amy and their daughter 8 years ago to grow weed. At the time, John was a carpenter and Amy a teacher.
She drugged me out here because her entire family migrated.
First, he had to learn the basics of farming marijuana, but quickly he became an expert.
After 3 years of living in California, I started experimenting with like organic farming, and that changed everything, really, on quality and yield and everything.
Now the garden has 25 marijuana plants, each about 6 feet tall. John's partner, Tom, is also a chef and a winemaker. He compares growing weed to growing grapes.
The process is very similar. You know, with bud, it's like you're it's about the crystallization. You look at it, the color, how it's finished, various things like that.
And these traits translate into quality and profit.
We're probably making about $1,000 profit on every pound.
So how many pounds were there, you said?
About 170. So
$170,000
divided by two, that would be
85,000.
And that's one outdoor growing season. They also grow indoors. So in a year, they're potentially making over $500,000, untaxed, of course.
So now are we going to the drying room?
This is the drying room.
Oh, it smells of marijuana.
Yes, it does. So this is an actual indoor growing facility that we converted into a drying facility just for the time of the outdoor harvest.
The buds hang here for about a week after being harvested from the plants. When the indoor growing begins, this room will be filled with seedlings grown under artificial light.
No, we do 99 on the indoor.
Is that allowed?
That's the federal allowance. Anything over 99 plants, the federal government can prosecute the mandatory minimum in California.
They could prosecute you for one, but they wouldn't mess around with that, basically, is what you mean, right?
No.
Perhaps the most dangerous part of the pot growing operation comes at the very end, the delivery. It's the riskiest step because it means leaving the safe haven of Mendocino.
It's going to Los Angeles. That's our hub.
Who takes it from here to go to who? I'm another one.
Me. Yeah, me.
How much? So you drive with how much weed on you?
Legally, 49 pounds at a time. With our particular license, 49 and under, you have a really good case. But anything over 50 and up, you're in big trouble.
And where do you put the weed?
In the back of my trunk.
Like what in?
In bags.
Okay.
Duffel bags.
Is your heart racing when you do that?
No, it's just, I have my whole little, like,
it's a mindset.
It's a mindset. I just blow kisses and say, Daddy will be back in 3 days, and I go.
And are you worried?
Mm-hmm. I just try not to think about it. And then when I get the message, somehow he'll get a message to me that he's there. And then, whew.
Despite the high risks and uncertainty, John and Amy actually prefer their business stay as it is, illegal. They're afraid of what would happen to their bottom line if they had more competition. But their partner Tom sees it differently.
You still can get your price if you do a boutique, high-end quality product. It's the same in the wine.
Would you rather it be legal or
are you? I don't care, because it's no different than growing grapes. There's always a high-end market.
Hey, Dad saw you earlier.
And just like at the end of a grape harvest, this weed-growing season ends with a party. All the workers gather around a big bonfire, burning what's left of the marijuana plants. You can almost forget that these people are in hiding, because they're hiding in the open. In Mendocino, I'm Daphne Mazziaracchi for Cross Currents.
If you're interested in more marijuana news, head to KALW.org every Friday for the latest cannabis news report. Always drop us a line if there's something you want us to cover. Send us an email at news@kalw.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter @KALW. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Angela Johnston, Ted Muldoon, Truk Nguyen, Edwin Okongo, James Rowlands, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Jeremy Dalmas. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.